السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته مفتي ساب. Pleased to have you back with us.
وعليكم السلام. Thank you for inviting me back.
Gee, so yes, you gave us a good explanation. Alhamdulillah, I think it's the best that I've come across to make sense of all of this year. Now, yesterday you also mentioned that you want to speak about this particular issue. And it's not one, because I just by mistake went back to that post of yours, which was really humorous, where you said marry a man who's older than you, so that by the time you're losing your beauty, he is also losing his eyesight. So that's wisdom now.
That's wisdom, huh? Okay.
Unfortunately, those who, they've already reached that old stage, that old age already, so they can't now go back and change things. But of course, people like yourself can advise the youth.
Well, now they have the operation for cataracts, so you can keep your eyesight longer.
But I must inform you.
So that's dangerous for the women.
No, I will say this, but I know few people who went for this op, for the cataract op, and you know what's in all occupations across the board, Muslimin, the key aspect that is lost is trust and trustworthiness. Mm. So unfortunately, right, nowadays you have to see as well where you're going, what you're doing, and do sufficient research and ask Allah to help in the rest, because once your eyes is it's a bounty from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and people just go into these ops, but then afterwards there is, because the op was not done correctly, it messed up their eyes and so forth. So it's not always you're going to go for the cataract. It means you're going to see your wife clearly again. there is a possibility.
I was fortunate. Yes. I had a cataract done by a doctor, okay, over here in Pakistan. And he asked me just before it happened, he said, okay, we can do it tomorrow, or we can wait for 2 months to do it. I said, well, why the big gap? And don't you work every week, every day? He said, no, well, after tomorrow, I'm going for 40 days in Jabbat. Okay. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. And I'm saying, I'm looking at him. He has his pants well above his ankles, and he's wearing a turban, you know, doctor. Okay. Well, after he examined me and everything, okay, we'll get it done tomorrow. And he said, listen, Azan was just called. Okay, let's go pray over here in the hospital or masjid. That in 30 years, that never happened with any other doctor that I had. Mm. Okay, so I said, you will definitely, inshallah, you will definitely do my cataract. And he did. Mm. But that is rare, mm, especially a doctor, mm, who's dini.
MashaAllah. Yeah, you do get these. And that's what I've recently been meeting a lot of these people, doctors who are, you know, also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the insight to see far in all of these things and then give people the correct advice. I mean, I was just saying earlier on radio, just before you came on, Mufti Saab, that there was this anesthetist. Now, I was at the time, I'll be honest, right? Initially, when I got married, I was not too so much for majlis and the rest, right? And as time progressed, then especially with the whole COVID outbreak, it just made me connected to Mulana. In fact, I went to meet him then, and that's when my whole opinion altogether changed about him. But in the first few years, if you told me vaccine, this, that, I said, what? So my family told me about this thing, about the vaccines and the rest, and I said, we don't want to, you have the tendency where don't make a noise, just whatever the doctor says, we'll just accept it. Now, why must we tackle the doctor? We are not, who are we to tackle? We don't have the knowledge and this and that. They know what they're doing. We almost, that's what we do. We place our lives in their hands. And so I was totally about.
You place your life in the hands of someone who thinks he's God.
Exactly. Yes. And then.
Okay. Yeah.
And so that's where I'm saying you get these exceptional cases. So I told my family eventually that, look, it's, you know, you're the mother, you have the right for it. So if you don't want to vaccinate, we won't vaccinate. That's the final conclusion. And I said, this is the most peaceful way to go forward. As we were going, then there was an anesthetist there. And, you know, when you don't take the vaccine, it's, I promise you, in our South African hospitals, it's almost like you committed murder. The nurses are looking at you like, you're just walking past, one nurse will be whispering to the other, he doesn't want to vaccinate his child. It's like he's... So this whole, that's the scene, I promise you, I'm not even exaggerating. So as
like
I,
you're an illegitimate child, huh? Like you're Harami. You don't want to vaccinate.
So as we now getting closer to the C-section, because that's what doctors want, cesarean section, the rest, the anesthetist pulls me aside. He's a Muslim. And he asked me the question. Now, I thought he's going to give me a whole lecture and all of this. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to say my wife doesn't want to do the vaccine and finish and blah. So at least he can't say anything to me. And I'm not going to, it's like an exciting moment for me, supposed to be. I'm getting a child. But the whole stress here. So when he pulled me aside and he said, why don't you want to take the vaccine? I said, my wife. So he said, but I'll tell you this much, you are making the correct decision. After he said that, this was like pouring water over a whole big fire. So he said, I don't vaccinate my own children. And what I've noticed, those where I have vaccinated, they have been, there has been consequences and a lot of side effects in those particular children. So after he said that, now look, this is coming from an anesthetist. And his whole job is to deal with these injections and anesthetic and all of the rest. So I said, okay, that was now, you know, that was my advice for the rest of my life. So they say sometimes you won't listen to your wife, but then you listen to someone else. So your mother will tell you. My mother used to tell me as a child, keep up to date with the news, see what's happening in the world, all of this. I was not interested. And I used to, she used to beg me, like, find out what's happening. And today, because it's my job, I have to do it. So they say, you didn't do it then when it, your mother told you, but now you'll do it because you have to earn. So that's...
So what confused you about the New York Post?
I don't know. It's just, I probably I had too much on my mind while reading it. I'll be honest. Maybe you can unpack it for us.
Well, I lived in America for 38 years, okay? And no one ever called me with a poll. Never called and said, no, we want your opinion on this. And we're conducting a poll about this, that, and the other. Whether it was for black people, whether it was for politics, or what, no matter what it was. So we don't trust polls, but one thing you'll probably notice that polls, most of the time, they're right. Okay, if they predict that someone's going to get elected or someone's trailing in the election and now they're winning in the election, and when the election day comes, normally they're pretty close. All right, they're more accurate than the weatherman. The weatherman is almost never correct. But so I don't know how this happens, because they never call me. They never call me, anyone in my family. Okay, my parents, grandparents, etc. I don't know. I never worked with anyone that they said, "Hey, last night, I was." They asked me questions on a poll. I don't know anybody, school, work, anywhere, but. When you look at the results, it, most of the time, they're accurate. So I understand that it's the government or some agency that this is what, like the media, this is what they want to get you to believe. All right? They want you to believe this, okay, whether it's right or not, but this is what they want you to believe. So when I looked at this thing, is the first thing it said that 34% of the Muslims in America feel they identify themselves as Democrats. 34% identify themselves as independent, and 33% as Republican. All right, so there's your 100%. So what does that tell you now? Are the Jews like this? Okay, no. The Jews are all one party. Okay, and all one party. They vote as a block. Okay, if you are doing something against Israel, the Jews, they vote against you, get you out, and put someone in there that they have supported and given them money. So when that person gets elected, now he has to pay back. All right, for the Jews. So now, putting aside the fact the Sharia voting or not voting, okay, let's just look at the numbers that are here, okay? So that means the Muslims are split. One third. Okay? Now, we shouldn't be at parties. All right? Muslims should be in the same party. Exactly. Because our ideas about this non-Muslim, non-Sharia system should be the same for all of us. So to say, I'm a Democrat, and your Muslim brother who prays in the same masjid with you, he's a Republican. Okay? And the guy in the next row is an independent. Okay? So where's our unity at?
Exactly.
Okay? We're split. Again, this is what the poll is telling you. We don't know the actual thing, but this is what the powers that be want you to believe about Muslims. The Muslims are split. Okay? And obviously there is some truth to it. Okay? Trump has this plan about Gaza. Okay? That taking all the Muslims out of Gaza, okay, building it up, making it like a resort, a luxury, you know, type place, okay, where all international people will live there, but not the people who are from Gaza. Okay? That is his plan, correct? And, which was approved by the Prime Minister of Israel, right? He approved it, correct? And almost all the Muslim, or as they say, Arab countries, they didn't like that idea. Okay, Saudi didn't like it. No one liked it. Okay, but 49% of the Muslims, according to the poll, they don't like it either. They were against they're against the plan. But 26% agree with Trump.
26%.
One fourth. 26%. Okay, and again, according to the poll. And 16% have no opinion either way. That's almost half of the Muslims. That's 42%. That's 42%. Okay? They agree with Trump? Or nah, they don't care either way whether you do that at the Gaza or you don't do it to Gaza. You know? That's different from not having an opinion. Okay? They didn't mention that. People who don't have an opinion. All right? The people who have an opinion, this is how it breaks down. So, where's the unity? Okay, this shows you that. So, this is how someone like Omar Suleiman can be like a leader, because how we are broken up in factions. Okay, we're in different groups. If you ask Omar Suleiman, he'll probably tell you he's probably a Democrat. Okay, I think he would probably say that. So 42% either agree with Trump or they don't have any opinion, and they're Muslim Americans. They agree with a plan that Trump and the Prime Minister of Israel want, but the other Muslim countries don't want it. There's something wrong with us. Okay, there's something wrong with us. 42% of Muslims compared to 48%, 52% of the Muslims compared to 48% think that Trump can bring peace to the Middle East better than Biden could. Okay? 48% think that Biden would do a better job than Trump. Mm. And 52% of the Muslims believe, and this poll was just done, I think, last week.
Mm. Yes, yeah. I'm following
you. Look what he's done since he's been there. Mm. All right, let's look at the actions of Trump. And you still, the majority of Muslims think he can do something better than Biden?
Inna lillah.
Okay, so again, we don't know how accurate this is, but this is what they want you to believe.
Hmm.
Okay, because when someone like Umar Suleiman will give a speech or something, he'll quote something like this: "The latest poll says this. The latest poll says that." Okay, and they run with it. All right. So interesting. 20% of the people, 20% of the Muslims voted for Kamala, your friend. All right, but 21% voted for Trump.
Hmm.
Okay. So now tell me how a Muslim votes for a woman to be president. Tell me that.
And
20% voted, although Biden had 69% 4 years before. Biden had 69% of the Muslims voted for him. So now when Harris, when she ran, she got 20%, but Trump got 21%. He got more than Harris got. Okay. And the third party is a third party candidate called the Green Party. I think those are the people that believe in, you know, environmentalists, mm-hmm. you know, planet warming and, you know, this type of stuff, save the planet. So, again, another woman, Jill Stein, and Stein is a Jewish name.
Mm.
Okay. Jill is a woman's name and Stein is a Jewish name.
Yes, yes.
She got 53% of the vote, of the Muslim mm-hmm. vote. She got double Trump and Harris.
Mm.
So this is where we throw our vote to. Right? Allegedly.
Mm.
Only 11% of the Muslims regret who they voted for. And 72% are still happy with who they voted for. So again, this is what the powers that be want us to believe about what's happening with America, with American Muslims. And it shows that obviously we're not united.
Mm.
Obviously. All right. Mm. If these numbers are close to being true. See, here in Pakistan, you know, we have the same, quote, democracy. But at least everyone claims to be Muslim, whether you're Imran Khan or Shabazz Sharif or Zardari or whoever. All right. But in America, you're dealing with 98% non-Muslims, and the candidates are like 99% non-Muslims, and this is how the Muslims are thinking. I identify with the Democratic Party. Mm. What is the Democratic Party doing for Muslims?
Mm.
And again, this Allah said, don't break into sects, right? Don't break into groups, all right? Hadith says, right? Don't break into different groups. And I could feel that this is a problem in a lot of masjids, okay, where you have people who, since many Muslims vote and they talk politics, okay, you have people in the same masjid who are part of different political groups of America.
Mm.
That is not good. That is not good.
Gee. I think... you've gone into the roots of this, because it's interesting to know that these very same people who come out, they will accuse those who choose not to vote, not to get involved in all of this, and go and actually blame them, accuse them of saying that you're causing disunity. But I think you've gone to the roots of it to say that you've actually started this disunity by voting and pledging your allegiance with a party. And then you have all these different groups. And these parties who you are voting or you are in support of, they are not Muslims. So speak of unity, but be complete in your statement. Let it not have double standards and contradictions. So... it's an important point. Mufti.
Hey, but tell me which party from the Democrats or the Republicans are not voting to give money to Israel. They're all supporting Israel.
Exactly.
You have, and the independent parties.
Otherwise, you won't be a party. They'll just extinguish you within seconds. Mufti, okay. Jazakumullah khairan for your time and for... I really enjoyed this few moments. You've really unpacked. Well, you asked me why I don't like to, or why wasn't I understanding this. Another reason I can give is because they speak with such a forked tongue. We can't tell heads from tails.
That's what the Native Americans said about the white man when he got there. You speak with forked tongue.
And that's what Quran Sharif says. They twist their tongues. Mufti, jazakumullah khairan. Make dua for us. Salaam.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.